Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are. It's hour two. Greg Cosell, a couple of minutes away, live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. It is great to have you in today. Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes. Also today, Bucky Brooks and Tristan Thompson, the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron and the Lakers roll and Anthony Davis in game one of the finals. I did not think the Lakers would get to the finals this year. I couldn't figure out who their number three player was. Last night, all their guys that could be their number three were hot at the same time. Danny Green and KCP. Kyle Kuzma hit a couple of big buckets. Alex Caruso hit them. Last night, Lakers had four guys that could have been the three. Rondo's, you know, last couple of games looked better. So it was just a bad matchup for Miami. I don't think they can solve all the issues, and I think they have to figure out a way to play Tyler Hero and not get burned by him defensively, because they can't get too precious or too pious here. They need points because Dragic is hurt, and Bam's got to guard AD, and he's not going to be the offensive force. But I want to talk football here. So we've reached peak insanity with quarterbacks in the NFL. Peak insanity. I know there's a bunch of good backups and young quarterbacks, but here is peak insanity. Kyle Shanahan interviewing Jimmy Garoppolo's been hurt. Nick Mullins, whose career numbers are 4-5 as a starter with 14 touchdowns and 11 picks. That's with Kyle Shanahan and with his brilliance and with a pretty good offensive line. He's 4-5, and here's the question.
Does a scenario exist whether Jimmy's out for one or two more games in which Nick Mullins is so impressive that he could win the starting job?
No, that scenario doesn't exist, but I don't think past one game either. So that's for you to do. But this is Jimmy's team. He's done a hell of a job for us. And when he's healthy, he'll be playing again for us.
Jimmy Garoppolo is 22-6 as a starter. Three games ago, he was in the Super Bowl leading Patrick Mahomes going into the fourth quarter. Stop. Okay, three things you have to reboot with the 49ers. First, they lost Nick Bosa for the year, and DeForest Buckner's been traded. They're not going to be as good defensively up front. They're not going to be as dynamic on your television set. They're not going to suffocate teams, blow teams out. They're going to win games, but they're not going to look like last year. Number two, their wide receiving core is spotty to begin with and now injured. Emmanuel Sanders gone. They're not going to be as dynamic on the perimeter as last year. And number three, their schedule's tougher and the division is way better. The Seahawks look better than last year. The Rams look better than last year. And Arizona looks way better than last year. You have to reboot it. Garoppolo last year, you know, let's be honest, the defense was just Aaron Rodgers was out of the game 8 minutes in. Makes life much easier. Emmanuel Sanders came in with all these young receivers. He looked great. George Kittle mostly healthy down the stretch. It was a great year. Just, you got to reboot it a little bit. They're not going to be as suffocating defensively. The division's much better. You got to play Goff and McVay twice, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll twice, Kyler Murray twice, now with DeAndre Hopkins. There's going to be more losses. If you can get to 10-6, take it and get into the playoffs. But this is not – Kansas City looks like they're getting better. Their situation, the Raiders are still can't tackle. Denver's dysfunctional, and the Chargers have a kid playing quarterback. That division, they're going to keep mowing through it. This division is the best in football, and there's I don't even think it's close. So and you lose. So you're asking Jimmy to do more with a tougher schedule with less to help him. It's not going to look as good. But he's a good quarterback, and he's a starting quarterback for the next several years. And with that, we bring in a man who has worked for 41 years at NFL Films. Just my favorite 12, 15 minutes of the week. Greg Cosell is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, so we'll revisit a question that I asked you last week, but we have another game and more tape for you, Greg. So let's just revisit. We know Carson Wentz is struggling. Same issues against Cincinnati, in your opinion?
Well, I think right now he's fighting it mentally, Colin. I think what you're seeing is a quarterback that is just not seeing it as clearly as he should. His recognition of what he's looking at is not quite as clean. So his elimination of what's not there and his isolation of what is there is not as quick as it needs to be. He's clearly having some ball placement issues. But you do see the moments. The touchdown he threw to Ward was a big-time play because of what he did recognize. So you know, I've made this analogy numerous times talking to different people this week. To me, it's almost like a hitter in baseball. When you're red hot, it doesn't matter who the pitcher is, the ball looks like a beach ball. When you're in a slump, it doesn't matter who the pitcher is, the ball looks like a BB. He's fighting it right now. And all you can do is work through that.
Yeah. Speaking of working through it, so I've watched every snap of Tom Brady. I think I mentioned this last week. He's never had this many options. He didn't have preseason. In a weird way, Chris Godwin being out for another week is an interesting element where maybe he gets to work more with Evans and more with the tight ends and more with Scotty Miller. So what are you seeing, Tom, week to week so far?
I think it's been a little up and down. There's been moments where you say, hey, that's Tom Brady. Great sense of timing and rhythm. I thought he made an unbelievable throw 2 weeks ago to Mike Evans for 50 yards against cover two. Just classic Brady, timing, touch, precise ball placement. You see that. But then I think you see some other throws where maybe he's just not quite as comfortable. Godwin will be out again this week. So the receiving core, when they go to three wide, will likely be Evans, Watson, Miller. Maybe the rookie Tyler Johnson will get more snaps. So I still think he's working through that because he's such a mechanically sound, rhythmic timing player. It's all about repetitive mechanics, doing the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe he and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, maybe there's no one like that who's played, but that's the way Tom Brady is.
Okay, so one player, I talked to a scout last night in the NFL, and he said, Colin, privately, if you ask some GMs this morning after 3 weeks in the year about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think there'd be some that would move to Josh Allen's side because we knew he had a big arm, we knew he was athletic. His accuracy now, I mean, you got to give Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, some credit, Greg. He has made a jump I didn't know he could make. What does the film say on Josh Allen?
Well, there's still a little bit of the Josh Allen experience, Colin. You know, it's like the Jimi Hendrix experience, I guess. there's no question at times there's still a frenetic nature to his game. I think he'll always be like that. I think the goal with him is as he gets more experience, you try to channel that a little. He probably channels it on his own. But he is a big physical kid who can make throws. He's been consistently more accurate. He's been better within structure. They're a team that does like to push the ball down the field, so that fits his style. You know, I remember when I came out there a number of years ago and he had just finished his junior year in college, and you and I talked, and I said, you got to keep your eye on Josh Allen. This kid's going to be a top 10 pick. And he's just so physically gifted, and they're really doing a good job with him. I think you'll see them cut down on his design runs. They'll use it in strategic tactical moments, but it won't be the same as a Lamar Jackson. Now, he's a better thrower than a Lamar Jackson, just a pure thrower of the football.
Yeah. So I want to ask two questions on that Monday night debacle. Let's start with this. What happened to Baltimore's defense? They were often... It felt like they were the alignment right. Was wrong. There were too many blown coverage. What was wrong with Baltimore's defense?
Well, can I answer it this way, if you don't mind?
Sure.
I think the bigger question, because Patrick Mahomes is pretty much going to put up 30 on anybody. Right. I don't think it's a surprise when Kansas City scores 30. Correct?
Right.
I don't think we're surprised by that. The bigger surprise, I think, was the fact that Baltimore's offense looked a little discombobulated.
Yeah.
And I think what Steve Spagnuolo did was just absolutely brilliant. Now, don't forget, he does have in his back pocket the fact that he knows his offense will likely put up 30-plus. But he came out, and here's what he said on third down and other downs. He said, we're going to play press man, we're going to blitz, and we're going to make the receivers have to win one-on-one, and we're going to have to make Lamar make precise ball placement throws to beat us. That's the challenge. Can you guys accept it? Because that's what you're going to have to do to beat us. And you know what? If Lamar, you make a couple of great runaround plays, great. More power to you. I don't think you can do enough of that to score 35. And that's what they did. Now, I'm not a big blueprint guy, Colin, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, every team's going to do that. It depends on your team
right.
And the fact that the Chiefs can obviously score a lot of points. Not every team can do that. But we'll see. That the Baltimore offense, as I've told you many times, the foundational and philosophical structure is Lamar Jackson as a runner. That's where it begins. Everything works off of that. I think he's an improving thrower. But I don't think they're telling you how they want to play, by the way. This is not me. They're telling you, I don't think they want to be in a situation where he's a drop-back quarterback just yet. He may get there, but not just yet.
41 years watching NFL films. Greg Cosell joining us. All right, so I think I think self-identifying your limitations is really important in this league and your strengths. It's I think Baker Mayfield can win a bunch of games throwing it 23 times. He is 7-1 throwing 26 or fewer. He's 8-17 throwing 27 or more. I like what I see from Cleveland, and I think Kevin Stefanski's identified very early. We don't think he's a number one pick. Somebody else did that. But we do think there's a structure in which he can win. It looks like it's fairly clear what Cleveland thinks of Baker and their offense.
Yeah, and I think that's a Stefanski belief anyway. In some ways, they're like Tennessee. I think you have two teams that they start with the run game. That's exactly how Cleveland starts. And by the way, they've expanded the run game. Everyone thought of Stefanski, based on his history, as a zone run game guy. You've seen a lot more of what we call gap scheme, pulling guards this year. They've been really good at it. I think that will be their approach. Now, the main issue with an approach like that is if you do get behind and you do have to throw the ball. Now, I think Baker is capable. He's a very good thrower. Now, there's other things that he probably has to work through in order to become a much higher level quarterback overall. But this is the way they want to play. Now, much of that then depends on your defense. They're going to go into Dallas this week. Dallas puts up a lot of points. If they get into a shootout, that profile changes. You can't throw it 23 times and have your backs run it 35 times. The profile has to change by necessity. So much depends on the ability of their defense to keep games together so that they can play offensively the way they really want to play.
It's interesting. I think the Chicago Bears story for 3 years has been a story of a very good coach, Matt Nagy, very clever, who is limited by his GM, who I don't love, and his quarterback. Now they're 3-0, and they've got Nick Foles, who, let it rip, Nick, has his moments.
Yep.
Do you think differently this morning, watching the Bears at 3-0 with this quarterback, than Trubisky? Do you think it's a more legit 3-0, a more legit team going forward in that division?
Well, I think Foles gives you more consistency on a play-to-play, quarter-to-quarter, game-to-game basis. I think when you talk to coaches in the league, they'll tell you that Foles has limitations. Everyone knows what they are, but he's more consistent, as I said, just play to play. And I think that Nick knows where he's going with the football. He's willing to turn it loose. I think he's unfazed by moments. He's played in big moments, and just his demeanor, you can tell it's just the next play to him. And I think he's tough in the pocket. And then I think that always means something to teammates when a quarterback stands in there and takes hits like he did on the game winning touchdown last week versus Cover Zero when he took a big shot and made the throw. So I think he gives you a better feel, a better energy throughout your offense, that there'll be greater consistency to what you're trying to get done.
All right, let's go to Aaron Rodgers. First couple of weeks, I don't like Minnesota's personnel defensively as much as they did a couple years ago, and then they beat the Lions, and I'm like, whatever. But then I'm watching him, even without a Devontae Adams against New Orleans, and I'm like, okay, this is next level. Aaron's very much comfortable. I also think, by the way, last year, as a rookie coach, LaFleur was very good off the script, on script. They were not a very good second half team last year. Most young coaches are good on the script, but they don't. Pete Carroll and Belichick, those guys, Andy Reid, adjustment coaches too. I think they become a much better second half team, which I think is some credit to a young coach growing. So that's part of what I see. But I want you to talk about Aaron, the Packers, and what the film says.
Well, I think they're doing some really good things offensively. I think you're seeing some more play action, some more play action boot. They're getting involved a lot more with the misdirection element, the deception element, because right now defenders, you try to grab their eyes, make them think they see something that they don't see. You know, on defense, if you're a step late, you're beaten. I think they're doing a really nice job with that. You know, it's really interesting, and we're going to show this play in a moment, but it's really interesting when you talk about receivers who are not speed receivers, when they can get on top of the defense because the play design allows them to do that. I mean, Rodgers did not have Devonta Adams last week, who, by the way, just as an aside, I think Devonta Adams is absolutely special. Yes. I watched him this summer, every one of his targets and many other plays, and he is a phenomenal route runner. He is so much fun to watch, and he'll be back soon, but you know, the play I'm going to show, and we can run it right now because this was from last week. So when you see this play, this was a 48-yarder to Alan Lazard. And here's the play action boot that I was speaking about, what they're doing more of. But this is such a great example of how one thing by a defense can cause problems. So you see Rodgers now, he's under center here, and this will be play action boot to the left, which you don't see a lot. Tough throws when you're booting to your left. There's Alan Lazard. Notice the reduced split. He's tight to the formation. He's going to run a deep sail route. So now there's two defenders to keep an eye on. It's the corner Lattimore and the safety Jenkins. We mentioned the play action boot away from them. Watch how they take just two steps toward that. We slowed it down because that's all it takes is two steps toward that. And now look what happens. Lazard can get on top of those guys. It doesn't look like he's on top now, but he's both Jenkins and Lattimore. And it's ultimately Lattimore's play here where the ball's thrown. He's beaten. And Lattimore's way faster than Lazard, but just two steps because of the play action boot, because the run action away, and he is beaten. And this is just what they're doing, really. And by the way, the throw is ridiculous. That's 53 yards in the air going to his left. We kind of lose sight of how ridiculous a throw that is. So, you know, I think that LaFleur is doing a great job. I think Rodgers has settled into this offense. I think he's clearly more comfortable. I think you can see that just in his body language. They're a pretty complete team right now.
Yeah, they are. No, I love it. And Davante Adams is ridiculous. I mean, I need to watch more Fresno State football games because I don't remember him in college, but he is just, you watch him, he and DeAndre Hopkins, I'm not sure there's a corner that can guard him. Seriously.
Adams is a phenomenal router. He just understands how to run routes.
Greg, great seeing you. Thank you so much.
All right, Colin, appreciate it. Thank you.
13 minutes, we all got smarter. Greg Cosell. Coming up next, it's amazing how few games in the NFL it takes to see the divisions and the teams, the good ones, all start to separate. The same thing happened last year after 3 weeks. I'll get to that in a second.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, it's a star-studded showdown in Big D as Baker Mayfield and the Browns take on Dak, Zeke, and the Cowboys, or you may catch the Giants versus the Rams. Check your local listings for the game in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. And make sure you get your Super 6 picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $100,000. And for top story scores and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Colin, give us your winner and final score for Cardinals-Panthers.
I think Arizona is going to bounce back off a disappointing loss. I think they have a more dynamic offense, and I would take Arizona to win it 30-24. That division's good.
Yes, very.
Very good stuff. Nice to have you in today. I'll get to it in a couple of minutes, but it is very interesting. Last year, through week three, 7 of the 8 division leaders won their division. So it doesn't take long. And the reason I think this is, the coaching in the NFL is much better than coaching in college. There's some great coaching guys in college, but there's not a lot of legendary staffs in college. NFL coaches make more money. The assistants have a pension. They don't break up as much. You may lose a hot coordinator, but a lot of NFL guys and teams, Sean Payton had a lot of the same guys for a while. Belichick, he'll lose an occasional hot defensive coordinator, but has a lot of the same guys. The coaching in the NFL is really good. And what does that mean? Meaning if you've got a hole or you've got a limitation, these coaches find it really fast in this league and they pick on you. So I'll get to that in a second, but it is interesting. By about this Sunday, this Sunday is going to be done, and you're going to look, and you're going to be like, you're going to know who's good and who's not, and it's going to be very, very clear. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Browns and Cowboys meet this weekend at 1 Eastern on Fox.
Yes.
Both offensives have been putting up a lot of points recently, and Baker Mayfield is preparing like this could be another high-scoring game in Dallas.
When it comes down to it, we're playing the Cowboys defense, and you know we have to do whatever it takes to win. And if that is a shootout, then great. Then if it's another game where we have to control the clock, then we'll do that. So whatever it takes to win.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring, actually, and I don't think that plays to Cleveland's favor.
I would agree. The Browns average 34.5 points per game in wins over Cincinnati and Washington, and the Cowboys average 35.5 points per game in the win over Atlanta and the loss to the Seahawks, and Dak threw for at least 450 yards in both those games. but those are a little bit deceiving numbers. You know, Dak can be putting up some big numbers to come back. Dak has a tendency to do that. It's part of the reason why Goulet has things to say about Dak a lot.
Let me defend the Cowboys. They've also played the Rams and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And it should be noted, they were in the final play against both the Rams and the Seahawks on the road. The Atlanta game, we think they were lucky to win. And perhaps they were, but it's also fair to note, they fumbled the ball on three straight possessions.
Yeah.
That will not happen for the next 5 years for the Dallas Cowboys.
They were absolutely lucky to win that game. I have no problem saying that. Like, they should not have won that game.
Right.
It was on Atlanta. All you have to do is not make the biggest special teams blunder maybe ever. Like, that's right. All you have to do is fall on the ball. So, yes. They have played better competition than the Browns have.
Much better. And they were on the road both times, and they were in those games to the last play of the game. So it's easy to dump on Dallas, and I do think they have an identity right now. I think it's the wrong identity, which is they're going to throw 45.
And they should be running it.
I think they should run it more. But let's not pretend this is a bad team. It's an uneven team that kind of has to win by shootout. But they're capable of winning a lot of games that way.
Here's what Dallas runs into. Dallas has probably unrealistic expectations on them every single year.
Yes.
And that's just because they're the Dallas Cowboys.
Notre Dame, same thing.
Yeah. And like, no one's crying you a river, but that's just what it is. Like, I think that the Cowboys are better than they've been playing, but I also think, to what you just said, they're not playing to their identity, which is Ezekiel Elliott. Like, that's all you could hear about for the first couple, for the past few years, is that Ezekiel Elliott is the identity of that offense, and that Dak Prescott is lifted up by Ezekiel Elliott, and now we're leaning on Dak Prescott. So we're just trying to make it all make sense. The Browns don't have the same expectations, other than they should be better than they were last year, right?
Yeah.
Cowboys are, some people are talking about them going to the Super Bowl, so they should be playing better based off of the expectations. Yeah. But remember, they do have a new head coach this year in a very strange offseason. So if we're realistic about the Cowboys, then they're actually not playing that bad.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes is going head-to-head with Cam Newton for the first time on Sunday, and he had some praise for his fellow former MVP and what he's been doing this year in New England.
Yeah, I wish I could do some of the things that he does as far as how physical he is and the way he's able to make plays happen. He's a great football player, and he's in a great spot now, and he's playing really good football. So you understand it's going to be a great challenge to go up against this team, knowing that they're going to be able to really move the football, and hopefully our defense is going to come out there and play like they did this last week.
Cam's, if you look at Cam, look at that throw by Cam. If you look at Cam's mechanics, whether it's injury or coaching, way better. This is like Cam year two. Like, when I watch these Cam throws, and it may have been injuries, watch his mechanics. They're really, and by the way, it's funny how his accuracy goes up when his mechanics are better and his shoulder doesn't dip.
He's healthy.
Yeah.
Like, the thing with Cam Newton is, yes, was his stay in Carolina over, and it kind of just felt like this was a good time to part ways, despite the fact that, you know, Cam felt a little like he was thrown out the door. Yes, he's in a better situation now. He's in an extremely detailed organization. While he doesn't have the best weapons around him, and certainly they need a deep threat, this is a consistent franchise, and he is completely focused this year on top of being healthy. I'm very interested to see how this game goes, because the Chiefs are coming off of their biggest opponent of the year so
biggest,
far.
A circle game for the last 3 months.
And a tremendous performance on Monday night.
Yeah.
And we know what the Chiefs are. I'm not saying that the Chiefs aren't great. Of course they're great. I just wonder how close this game is going to be. I'm still going to go with the Chiefs in this game, but I could see it coming down to the wire.
I think it's going to be 31-24 Kansas City, but I think you're going to end up watching this game, and you know what you're going to think after it? New England's the second best team in the AFC, not Baltimore. And that's what I think you're going to think.
If that happens, isn't that incredible? I mean, look, I didn't think the Patriots were going to be anything this year.
Eight
they had eight opt-outs. They were pitching us Jarrett Stidham for months at a time, telling us this is the future of the New England Patriots, like we're supposed to buy that.
Look how late Cam got to camp.
Yeah, and I thought the Cam would be a lot better than most people thought he would be, but I didn't see this just because he got to camp late. He had a lot to adjust to.
Yeah.
As long as he's healthy, we know what Cam is capable of. So many NBA players have spoke about how challenging their time has been in the bubble, but Anthony Davis said there's one upside to playing in a neutral location.
Some guys like the bubble just because, you know, you don't have that pressure from the opposing fans, you know, or even at home. You know, you don't have that pressure from the fans to, you know, that, you know, will boo you. You know, if you're not playing well, and then especially if you're on the road, you know, they can get to you. You have a little bit more ease here in the bubble, not having to worry about any of that.
It's definitely a factor.
No, and a huge advantage for a younger player who, 29 in this league is not 23. You're a little more emotionally equipped at 29 to handle toxic crowds. The young guy, the bubble story to me beyond the Lakers is the year of the young emerging stars all feeling comfortable in the playoffs.
And look, Anthony Davis has never been in the finals before. Yeah. This is a new experience for him. This would be a much more high-pressure situation if they were not in the bubble, even playing against the Heat. Like,
how about this?
He has extreme expectations on him. If that game wasn't so overwhelming in the Lakers' favor, and that was in L.A., that was a close game, it would have been a different scenario with the crowd.
I'm in pretty good shape for my age. If I fly from Chicago to L.A. 3.5 hours, it not that it wipes me out, but I'm more tired. The body pressure, 33,000 feet. There's no flights. So the reality with the Lakers, an old team, is they're just going back to their room. They get the naps. They sleep in. Some of these old teams deteriorated. The Lakers look, I can't believe how fresh LeBron looks, how healthy Anthony Davis is. Like, this is an advantage for some old guys, too. You're not getting on that Delta flight. And, you know, you just forget. People say, oh, they make a lot of money and they have private flights. 33,000 feet for 4 hours is 33,000 feet.
You're still taking a flight.
Yes.
You're not sitting in coach in the middle seat, of course, but yes, your body is still in the air.
Yeah.
It's still hours. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors to the bubble that have worked in the benefit and both sides for young players and older players.
Yeah. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Last year after week three, 7 of the 8 division leaders won the division. So that is not saying you don't have teams that emerge late and get better late. But it's interesting. If you take out the NFC East, that is like the debate the other night between Trump and Biden and Esho. Just take out the NFC East. It is a mess. Start looking at all the divisions. So take the one to the far left. If you're a TV viewer, take that one out. The NFC North. Green Bay is the most complete team with the best quarterback and the best point differential. They are the team with the fewest holes, and they lead their division. I think that is very clear. They're not going anywhere. NFC South, Tampa leads. They have the best defense, the best point differential, and the most weapons. I'm not saying somebody else can't get hot. The story of that division and the best defense by far in that division is Tampa Bay. NFC West, we always thought coming in it was a three-team race. Seattle's better, the Rams are better, the Niners aren't quite as good. It is exactly what we thought. It's going to go down to week 17. Seahawks, Rams, Niners. Niners pulled back. Rams, Seahawks better. This is what we thought. And by the way, Arizona probably won't be around at the end. They're not complete, but they're a tough out. Then you go to the AFC. I think it's pretty clear. Buffalo and New England have the two best defenses in that division and the two star quarterbacks, Cam, healthy, and Josh Allen emerging. That's what it's going to look like. Buffalo, New England, whoever's on top, that's the division. AFC North, I think Baltimore is going to win it, but the story of it's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is back. Most sacks, best run defense, and a capable veteran quarterback. The story of that division right now is Pittsburgh is back to being a threat. AFC South, the two best coaches and the two best run organizations are Tennessee and the Colts. They're going to end up 1-2. And it may be the Colts 1 and the Titans 2, but if you look at infrastructure, coaching, dependability, veteran quarterbacks, those are the two teams. AFC West, it's Kansas City and a lot of dysfunction. You start looking at these divisions, and they're starting to shape up really. And the reason being, coaching in the NFL is so good. If you've got limitations or holes, these coaches are a heat-seeking missile. They'll find it, and they'll go after it and after it and after it. And I think, now, the NFC West, I don't know if the Rams, the Seahawks, or the Niners will win it, but we said coming in, we thought it was a three-team race. That's going to be the division that goes to week 17. That one's going to go. And Arizona won't be around at the end. They're still kind of rebuilding some parts of their team, but they're going to ruin somebody's season. They're going to ruin either the Seahawks, the Niners, or the Rams' season. They'll screw it up in week 16 and knock people out of the playoffs. Bucky Brooks around the corner, former NFL player and scout, plus some thoughts on why AD and LeBron is so darn good as the NBA's best duo and so quickly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech is more than a grill. It's a lifestyle. Smart grill technology. RECTEQ.com. RecTech with a Q.com. By the way, I was looking at all these. This was the year of the duo in the NBA. Kawhi, Paul George, LeBron AD, Harden, Westbrook, Kemba, Jason Tatum, KD, and Kyrie. Obviously, injuries changed that. Day one of them worked. It's funny, all the times we've asked LeBron, so when he went to Miami, even though Bosh was more in his prime than Wade, it didn't work perfectly because it was Wade's city, it was Wade's team, and Wade handles the ball in big situations. So they had to figure that out, right? Like it was a guard, and you carry the ball. And so at some point, Wade's like, okay, keys to the city, keys to the team. And then he goes back to Cleveland, and it's Kyrie. Well, Kyrie handled the ball at Duke in high school, AAU, everywhere he's been in Cleveland. No, LeBron's going to take the ball. And you had Bosh and you had Kevin Love, but it was not a perfect fit in both instances. We know that LeBron wants to handle the ball. You know, like Michael Jordan wasn't a point guard, but either was Kobe. But when you get down, the shot clock's down, those guys are going to control the offense. It's same with LeBron James. This is the first time where the roles are completely defined, absolutely defined. Not only their games, but their personality. LeBron is much more verbal and much more vocal and very much a coach on the floor. And AD is much more chill and laid back. So it's Kawhi would have worked with LeBron too. His personality is nonverbal, a little more chill, go out and do your job. That's AD's personality. So the personalities fit. Kyrie was more outspoken. You know, he's going to tell you what he thinks. Dwayne Wade, again, is a leader. He's very talkative. He's very verbal. But the whole LeBron AD thing, it works from a psychology standpoint, a personality standpoint, and the roles are defined. You know, big guy, you go defend the rim, and I'll drive, which I love to do. I'll dish to you. I'll dish out to you. Totally defined roles. No, now Kyrie and KD, you would think would be pretty defined, but Kyrie is a closer and Kevin Durant's a closer. Now that can work occasionally. Kobe was a closer and Shaq was a closer. But generally you get more of, and it's working with LeBron's a closer and so is AD. But I think part of it is their personality and their roles. It's very defined. Both are comfortable. AD doesn't want to talk to the press every night. He doesn't want to be the verbal guy, the outspoken guy. It's just not his personality. He's a good guy and he's a great baller. LeBron's going to take social stands. He's going to talk about coaching. He likes to be interviewed. LeBron likes to be interviewed after the game. He likes to kind of start the conversation on what happened. He'll go back at you. He'll tell you what you saw, regardless of what you think you saw. AD's not going to get into those situations. So this was the year of the duo, and one of them worked instantly. And I also think the big advantage here is the bubble has been really good for two players specifically. LeBron James is the most energized he has been in years. Between the injury last year and the bubble, he got like 6 months off of playing. I mean, this guy had been to the finals 8 straight years. So last year he gets hurt, and he'd be on his Instagram. He's on the pool. He's on the rubber ducky in the pool. He's hanging out. He's doing rehab. He got like 4 months off and not grinding on his legs. And then this year the bubble hits, and he gets another 3-4 months off, not grinding his legs, at home with the kids, doing some workouts, but not the travel. This is the healthiest AD has ever been, and I think it's the most refreshed and energized LeBron has been in years, and I think Miami's in big trouble. So you watch it last night, the year of the duo. There is another story that comes out. The Lakers, because the salary cap's coming down, almost all these teams are going to look like they looked last year. The composition of the NBA is going to be very much, it's going to look like last year. And you'd think for the Lakers that is bad news. But remember, they do get Avery Bradley back. So remember, when Avery Bradley opt out, I just took him off the board as a championship team. I'm like, okay, he's like a late game, great defensive guard. He's a little Victor Oladipo. I don't think quite as offensively dynamic, but he's a very dependable defensive guard. He's a real leader. He'll guard your best guard. He comes back next year. So in a weird way, it's like a free agent that you didn't have in the playoffs. So they do get Avery Bradley. The draft's got no players this year. They're going to make an impact. It's got none. And there's no free agents really out there that are, you know, Victor Oladipo, I think, wants to move, but the salary cap's coming down. The league's going to look exactly like it looks now with a few coaching changes next year. except the Lakers, get Avery Bradley, that's really going to help. But the Rockets are going to be the Rockets with a new coach, and the Sixers are going to be the Sixers with a new coach, and Boston's mostly going to be the same team, and Milwaukee's going to have to cross their fingers on Middleton, and this is what it's going to look like. The Lakers get Avery Bradley. I will say this, the relationship between LeBron and AD, though, it should never be that hard. I've said this about Baker and OBJ. If something works, it doesn't take forever. You can't be a couple going to therapy in year 12. Like, it doesn't work. LeBron was asked if he's surprised how well the LeBron AD thing has worked.
What do you feel about that?
I don't feel anything. I expect it out of him. Didn't need to give him no advice. We've been preparing for this moment all season. He's been preparing for this moment all season. And I'm happy to be on the same floor with him in the same uniform. And he was, once again, a force every facet of the game, both offensively and defensively.
You know, I want to talk for a second about Josh Allen. So we saw Lamar Jackson really struggle on Monday night. Lamar Jackson is not the same quarterback trailing as he is leading, but it doesn't matter because he's mostly going to lead the next 13 weeks. Lamar's fine. But he's got to get past something. A lot of people do. But it is interesting. I was talking about 10 minutes ago about how it takes about 3 weeks to figure out an NFL season. 3 to 4 weeks, and you do get a sense who's got real holes, who's got real limitations, who are the better coaches. It takes about 3 years, usually, to discover what quarterbacks are. It's not a three-week thing. It's off seasons and it's OTAs. It is funny to go back and look at the 2018 quarterback draft. And everybody's kind of becoming what we thought. So Baker goes first. We kind of know what he is. He needs a running game. He gets very erratic when he's pressured. He makes too many mistakes. He's got a nice arm, but he is not a number one pick. He is more game manager. As I said, he's closer to Case Keenum than he is Tom Brady. I think that is incredibly fair to say. I think the Cleveland GM and staff has figured it out, and that is what he is now. What you're seeing last week is him at his best. I think Sam Darnold is mistake-prone, super athletic, but the concerns are legitimate. He was mistake-prone in a little while at USC. Nobody thought he had great coaching at USC or with the Jets. The jury is still out if he's a bust or he's a franchise guy. We know he's talented, but he's going to need an elevation of coaching to survive. Forget flourish, to survive for another 4 or 5 years as a franchise quarterback in this league. That's very fair. There's Josh Allen. He's officially a hit. Big arm, big athlete, clearly very coachable, massive upside, leading, trailing. He looks like a baby Ben. That's what he looks like to me. The jury's out. They got him a deep ball receiver. Now, again, he's had a very good coaching staff, but they're not going anywhere, and either is he. He is a hit. He has been an absolute hit. He's gotten rid of his erratic play. They got him a deep ball receiver, which was kind of a weakness. We now know he's a hit. Let's go to the next quarterback in the 2018 class. That would be Lamar Jackson. He is also a hit. Now, there is a concern with Lamar Jackson that he plays better ahead than behind. The way Baltimore plays him, they feel better as a runner who throws than a thrower who runs. But he's absolutely a hit as well. And we know Josh Rosen is just not dynamic enough to overcome average coaches, average rosters. The league is changing. He's a classic pocket quarterback and not dynamic enough. That's the advantage Darnold's always had over Rosen. We've got questions on Darnold, but he can make plays on bad teams. He does give you these glimpses in New York, and you'll see Darnold tonight. He'll make two plays tonight, and you're like, oh, my God. Daniel Jones doesn't give them to you. Like, Darnold will give you two plays tonight, and you'll be like, okay, there's a little Deshaun Watson in him. The question is, is he too erratic, and is he just too mistake-prone? Because he doesn't have a great arm. He's got a good arm. It's not special. But it takes about 3 weeks to figure out the NFL. It takes about 3 years to figure out your quarterback. And I think the 2018 class, they're all kind of defined now. We got a kid that didn't make it. We have two stars. And we have two guys that need help, either O-line coach or running game, to really be franchise quarterbacks. It's been decided. Geico, 15% off. SUV, car, and motorcycle insurance. But you got to sign up by October 7th. Geico.com. Go there now. Save 50%, but you got to switch over October 7th. Hour 3 coming up live in L.A. It's the Herd.